BuzzkillBlog.com presents Four Downs with your host, Richard Pruitt. Welcome to the second installment of Four Downs presented to you by TheBuzzkillBlog.com. Tonight, we're not going to waste any time. Let's have a breakdown of this show. In first down, the first half of the NBA season is about ready to come to a close. We're going to talk about the top stories that are affecting the league. In second down, talk about crazy. College basketball has had a huge upset almost every week of this season. We're going to talk about the big headlines, and we are only 1 month away from the NCAA tournament. In third down, we're going to stick with college sports and talk about the BCS and give you an opinion of how to change it that has not been given before. And in fourth down, we're going to shift back to the National Basketball Association and talk about something that has lost its star power, the slam dunk competition. Let's stop wasting time. It's time for first down. All right, so in first down, let's talk about the NBA. First half of the season is almost done, and I look at the standings, and I'm still kind of in shock by some of the teams that are in the picture. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. Okay, we knew Miami was going to be at the top of the leaderboard. We know the Heat are the team to beat, but only three games behind them. Okay, I think that it might even be 2.5 games behind them are the New York Knicks. A surprise, I think, to many. All the things with Linsanity, all the things with Coach Mike D'Antoni last season, the Knicks are back, and they are the number two team in the East. The number three team is the Indiana Pacers, very young, very good on defense. Still have a shot to possibly pull out that two seed. Then you got Chicago. Another shocker to me is the Brooklyn Nets being in the top eight. They're looking really strong. The move to Brooklyn, big move for the Nets. Then Atlanta, Boston without Rajon Rondo, but are playing much better. Just had a 7-game winning streak snapped by the Charlotte Bobcats. But, you know, they have been playing great this season without Rondo. And I don't know if they're going to have him back before the end of the season, before the playoffs even. And finally, rounding out the top eight, the Milwaukee Bucks. There's a name you don't hear much. Philadelphia is knocking right on the door. But the big shock to me has to come from the Western Conference. And in the top eight, there's always this one team that just simmers around 1-4 every year. That's the Los Angeles Lakers. They're not there. They are 15-10 at home. But they're a way record. If they're not playing in the Staples Center, it's abysmal. It's 9-18. They have to overcome Portland now to make the playoffs. And granted, they're still the second half of the season, but there's no way they're going to come in the top four. So they're going to have to end up playing a road series, which means they are going to have to get their butts in gear and win on the road. It makes me wonder if that trade for Dwight Howard's not looking really crappy in the eyes of everyone around Los Angeles. Andrew Bynum was a better all-around player than Dwight Howard. And I know before you say anything, oh my goodness, Dwight Howard's great. I'm not going to argue that. Dwight Howard is one of the best ball shot blockers in the history of the NBA. But I don't think he's as good of a scorer as Andrew Bynum was. And I think it's showing this season. Pau Gasol not getting the ball is hurting the Lakers to a point to where they're going to have to do everything they can this second half of the season. I mean, Kobe's going to have to start playing more assist basketball, which is something that is not in Kobe Bryant's repertoire at all. Kobe Bryant is a first-shoot player. That's why they got Steve Nash, was to be the assist guy, but it's going to have to be on Kobe. This is his team. This is his opportunity. Now, with the first half over, I want to predict who I think is going to be in the NBA Finals this year. Now, it is hard to go back-to-back in any sport. It is hard to win the championship in a pro sport. I'm not picking the Heat out of the East. And I know that sounds really crazy of me to do, but I'm going to pick the Indiana Pacers out of the East. And my reasoning is because I think the Pacers are the best defensive team in the NBA. and they're going to turn it up in the playoffs this year. They're going to be able to stop the Miami Heat and LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. They're going to be able to stop that team. And out of the West, I have to go one team. I'm kind of flip-flopping between two teams here. I'm flip-flopping between the other Los Angeles team, which has an amazing season. 17-12 at the Staples Center, 25 at the Staples Center, 17-12 away from the Staples Center. The Blake Griffin and Chris Paul led Los Angeles Clippers. They're going to be tough to beat when it comes playoff time. No one's going to be able to beat, and I think the youth of this team and the energy is just flowing at right times. And I think part of me wants to see an Oklahoma City Clippers matchup in the playoffs, because that would be just fun. You can't rule out the Oklahoma City Thunder, though. I'm picking Thunder and Pacers for the championship this year. And I'm guessing if you're Daniel Stern right now, or David Stern, or whatever. Daniel Stern's an actor, I'm sorry. David Stern, you've not got to be happy if that ends up being your NBA Finals, because you're hoping it's Miami and another high-profile team, because right now, Miami is the East. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's Miami, and it's everyone else. In the West, the Spurs are in the first place right now, and they're always in first place, but when it comes playoff time, their age finally starts to show, and they usually go down in the second round, and I feel like that will probably be the continuing trend this year as well. So, if I'm thinking right, I'm thinking the NBA officials are going to be really upset if the Pacers end up being that team. All right, guys, it's now time for Second Down. We'll be right back. Tired of wearing the same old ratty t-shirts that you wore in high school? $15 can get you the hottest shirts on the internet. Visit www.thebuzzkillblog.spreadshirt.com. I get into the sweet spot like the sweetest wine. Everyone talks about the madness being March. Did anyone expect the madness to be coming in February, a month early from the NCAA tournament? This has been insanity already. No one has anticipated what has happened. The number 1 through 5 seeds, I should say the number 1 through 5 ranked teams in the nation, have probably had some of the worst luck all season long. And I kind of feel bad for Indiana now, and I really feel bad for Miami, and I feel bad for Duke. Because somewhere, somehow, this week, one of those teams is going to get knocked out of the top 5 with ease by a team that has no business beating them. Case in example, let's rewind a bit. Wisconsin beating Michigan over the weekend. Unbelievable 3-pointer at the buzzer by Wisconsin. Unbelievable game. Kansas losing 3 straight. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and TCU, who had not won a game in the Big 12. A very embarrassing loss for the Kansas Jayhawks, and Bill Self called his team out, saying it was the worst team that has been on the floor in school history. That's a lot to say, considering the only losing coach in that school's program is Dr. James Naismith, the guy who invented the game of basketball. Then, number 2 Florida last week goes on the road, heads into Fayetteville to play the Arkansas Razorbacks, who's an average team at best, should be able to take down Arkansas with ease, and Arkansas pretty much pounds them into the ground in the first half and never lets off the clutch. This is one season that has been unbelievable. How about the Notre Dame-Syracuse game? 5 overtimes, 104-102 for Notre Dame over the Syracuse Orange. This season has been crazy, and now we're a month away from the NCAA tournament. And can one of those teams show that they're dominating enough to win the tournament? Right now, I feel like there is not a clear-cut team that can win the whole thing. The only one that actually makes some sort of logical fight for it is the Miami Hurricanes. They beat Duke by 20. They beat North Carolina by 20. It's one of the first time in season's history that someone has beat both those teams by 20. But I gotta say that this is the first year I think the tournament could be won by a mid-major. This is also the first year in the tournament I think a 16 is going to defeat a 1 seed. Now, with that said, I could also be in that 16 seed that wins, be the one that wins the play-in game. This is something I think the NCAA needs to do away with. And I know why they're doing it, and I get it. We're going to add like four more games to the tournament, but we're also going to throw in more teams so we can get the bigger schools involved because we want the ratings. Look, it's not about the ratings with the NCAA tournament. I can tell you now that you could put any 64 teams in it, and we're going to watch as fans because that's what we love. We love the thrill of the NCAA tournament. We love seeing upsets unless it's our team. We love seeing the thrill of defeat with those last-second buzzer beaters. We love the fact that our brackets are going to be busted within 25 minutes of the third set of games on day one. We know this is going to happen. But adding more teams to this tournament makes no sense to me. Now, you know that North Carolina is not ranked this season. Kentucky's not ranked this season. But you know they're going to be in the tournament. We know that. That's a given. They're going to be a 7-10 seed. That being said, I will go ahead and make this prediction right now. A 4-8 seed will win this year's NCAA tournament. Why do I say that low of a seed? Because the one seed, it doesn't seem like anyone really wants it right now. It is anyone's taking. If anyone gets hot at this moment and starts riding that wave to March, they're going to win the NCAA tournament with ease. And right now, the only team riding a wave of emotion is Miami. So come tournament time, if Miami's still playing like the way they are now, I know who's winning my brackets every time I fill one out. That wraps up second down. Let's talk about some college football in third down. Looking for a gift for that special someone? Then look no further than the Craving Humor Store. We have everything from coffee mugs to iPhone covers. That's www.zazzle.com/cravinghumor. It seems like it's the old adamant, you can't beat a dead horse. But we're going to keep talking about the BCS and keep talking about the BCS until they change it for the better. This is an opinion that I feel like is a little different than you hear most. And I feel like the tournament idea is great, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. It's never going to happen. In a couple of years, they're finally doing the top four teams playing in a small tournament. They're going to keep all these bowl games. I don't care who you are. You could yell. You could cry. You could write stern letters to the NCAA. And a tournament for college football is never going to happen the way we want it to. Unless this scenario finally plays out. Now, in college football, and it's a lot different than college basketball, the mid-majors really never get a chance to stand out. The small schools never really get their chance to shine. Unless you're a Boise State, a Utah, a TCU who's now moved up. It comes down to, I think it was brought up a while back, and I hated the idea when it was mentioned then, as I was more or less afraid of what it would do for basketball, but you could still keep all your basketball conferences the same as they are now, but let's change up football. Let's make four super conferences. Let's make this to where it's the North, the South, the Midwest, and the West. Let's make four super conferences. Where in each conference, say you have 16 teams. So we're looking at 64 teams playing Division I college football on a level of they could win the national championship. Since we're going to have, that means 16 teams in each conference. That being said, let's break those down into eight. Let's make two things of eight in each conference. Two small conferences of eight in the big conferences. Let's say that, say there's like, in the West, say there's a West 1 and a West 2. Have eight teams play. Have it set up like the SEC set up now in a way where you have an SEC East and an SEC West and have them play. And then you could have four major championships. The West Conference Championship, the East or the North, the South, and the Midwest. So now you have eight teams. You have a playoff. No matter how you look at it, you now have a playoff. So with those eight teams, the winners then would advance, and then you have four teams. You can restructure it there of the best team plays the worst of those, and so on. And then you have your national championship game. It's the only way that it can be done, and it's made logical to where we can still have a playoff, and all these other schools can still get into bowl games. Now, this does bring up an interesting question of how will it affect recruiting? That's a whole nother argument, because I think the smaller schools would actually get better players in this scenario, in all honesty, because the playing field would be even. Because you know there's going to be upsets every week. You know somebody's going to fall that isn't supposed to. You're going to have power teams against power teams every week. It would make better television. It would make for better ratings. It would make for better games. It would make for better emotion. You're going to have big teams traveling to schools like Arkansas State. You're going to have big teams traveling to schools that should have never had a big team at them, like Louisiana Lafayette. Those schools are the schools that are going to be a little bit bigger noticed in this sort of format. I say let's do it. Let's make four super conferences, make two small conferences in all of them, have them play for a title for their super conference, and then have the four super conference winners play for the national championship. That is the only way we're going to have a true national champion in the world of college football. Every Friday night, the BuzzkillBlog.com brings to you its pop culture, entertainment, and all-around nerd extravaganza. It's the Buzzkill Live every Friday night on the BuzzkillBlog.com. Okay, I think we all remember the picture of Michael Jordan flying from the free throw line to slam dunk the ball in the NBA slam dunk competition. I remember as a kid getting all excited about watching top players from the NBA come up with these creative dunks to show off to the crowd and the crowd go nuts. We would go nuts. It was just a fun time to watch. But over the last few years, and I mean this, over the last few years, the NBA slam dunk competition has become a joke. Now, I think the last real big player that won the NBA slam dunk competition, other than Blake Griffin, because you can't really count that because he never really had competition except for Nate Robinson, the two-time winner or three-time winner before, was the year 2000. Vince Carter was the last one that really made a difference in the slam dunk competition. I mean, we went from Kobe Bryant and Vince Carter winning it to Fred Jones and Gerald Green. I mean, that's what we've come to. Jeremy Evans last year won the slam dunk competition. Let that sink in for a minute. Jeremy Evans, a power forward. Do you know what team he plays for? He plays for the Utah Jazz. I don't even know who he beat last year, if that tells you anything. Because no one in this contest is relevant. The day that, you know, we see a Blake Griffin re-enter. We see Blake Griffin versus LeBron James. That's the day you're going to get me to tune in again. That's the day I'm excited for. The day you're going to see a Dwight Howard enter this competition again. Those days are gone. You will never see another big name enter the slam dunk competition, I think, through our lifetime for ever again. It is ridiculous that these prima donna players, and yeah, I'm going to use that term right now, have to do this. It's about the fans. The fans are the ones who pay their salary. I have to give it for the NFL. I have to give it up for Major League Baseball. Because you see the big names participating in the home run derby. Some years, yeah, you're not going to see the biggest names participate. But you're at least going to get some names that you recognize and you're excited about seeing. I don't think the NBA slam dunk competition has anyone that really makes me go, eh, I don't think I'm going to get excited about seeing Jeremy Evans dunk over his teammate to win the slam dunk competition. Now, if you tell me that Blake Griffin's going to dunk over a car, I'm watching it. If you're going to tell me LeBron James is jumping off someone's head to do a 360 tomahawk slam, I'm going to watch it. But I am not going to watch four unknown players that no one gives a crud about and no one's going to remember in 20 years anyway participate in a contest that's irrelevant. I miss the days where these contests were fun. I miss the days with the three-point shootout as well. The All-Star Weekend's taking place in Houston this year. I hope it's worth it. I hope the game, the whole festivities through it all, is worth it. Because I'm actually somewhat excited for the first time in years about watching it this year. Because there were so many snubs that were left out. But the slam dunk competition will never be the same. And until an actual player with a name steps up and says he's going to do that, every year it's going to get more and more relevant. Folks, that wraps up this edition of Four Downs presented to you by TheBuzzKillBlog.com. Every Tuesday night, we'll be right here talking about sports. Don't forget, this Friday night, the second episode of The Buzzkill Live. For Richard Pruitt, this has been Four Downs.